All right. It almost feels like church in here, which is amazing. Galatians chapter 6. So Jonathan got the new projectors up. If you notice, if you look up, if you ever pay attention, they are much larger. The image is sharper. And then the screens are inbound, and the screens will actually be, I don't know, whatever the dimensions are, wider than they are now. Does anyone know what those dimensions are? What's it called? 4x3? I don't know what Jonathan's around here somewhere, but maybe that's what it is. Yes, Jack, whatever. It's going to be wider. We know that. Yep. And so anyway, you can tell that the colors are even more distinct. Praise the Lord. So for those that don't know, on the listening on the live webcast right now, a judge ruled that they can't have a double standard, is my understanding. The governor said he wasn't going to appeal. So it'll be interesting to see what the next 2 weeks looks like as far as what the decision is going to be made. But all of you are invited back tonight. Yes. And we're going to look at Saul's death in the end of Samuel, 1 Samuel 31. It's pretty interesting. Now, this morning now, verse 1, chapter 6, Galatians. Brothers and sisters, family of God, children of God, you who have been adopted by God into this giant entity called the body of Christ. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him or her in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So having identified this word brothers, we're now going to read it like brothers, sisters, brothers and sisters, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be in here. And thank you, Lord, for those that will be here next week and those that are going to come tonight now that they know that the church is open and that they're not violating a law from the governor. Thank you, Lord, for those that are able to connect with the internet and those that will be at our outside service in just a short little time. And then we pray, like Dr. Wilson led us with these in particular that are just really struggling. We pray for Joyce Reband, God, and that you would just provide healing and comfort and grace. Debbie Smith is just struggling at being in the hospital again, and we can imagine her heart and her body and the emotional toil that this is taking on her. And we pray for her in Jesus' name. Pray that you bless the preaching of your word and the examination of this text in detail. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John, do I need to do something or? It's not clicking. No, it's not. And it's on. Yep. No, battery says it's good. Maybe Art knows what to do. Here we go. Did you do that? Did I do that? All right. Well, I'll hold it up and you like that, and you'll really pay attention. When my thumb makes that button, you'll make sure it'll be seamless to everybody. All right. I just did it, John. There we go. Yeah, slight delay there. Sarah, you may have to leave because you're kind of a distraction to him back there, and I need him focused, okay? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Commentators disagree as to what Paul is referring to when he says the law of Christ, but I think that there's no need to wonder. I think it's John chapter 15. Would you turn there, please, so that maybe you could mark it in your Bible and write it in the margin of your Bible. I think it's real particular what he's referring to. I think it's John chapter 15, verse number 12. This word one another in Galatians is found 100 times in our New Testament. Bear one another's burdens. So we've got this Greek word here, bear one another's burdens. So one another, this idea of each one of this reciprocal relationship, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we're wondering, what is that law of Christ? Well, I'm pretty confident that Paul was referring to John 15:12. And this is my commandment. So Jesus is speaking, and he takes ownership of this. He says, this is my commandment. So I'm now going to give you a commandment. Christ is going to give the disciples a commandment. And that commandment is that you, plural pronoun, love, same Greek word, one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. So we've got this brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, children, family, household, church. All these words describe this collective entity that is distinct from any other unit, organization, club, or entity on the planet. This is the body of Christ. This is us. This is this amazing household of God, this family. All of us that are in it, I mean legitimately in it, and have been in it and know what it is to be part of it, are kind of crazy about it. And we really miss it when we can't have it. And we know what it is to be part of one. And those of us that have been part of it for a long time know what it looks like when it's functioning well. And it's kind of an amazing thing when it's functioning well. And when you're not part of it, like we were in Louisiana for a little while, and we struggle with going from church to church, you really miss it. And you long to be in it, this thing called the body of Christ. And so this church or body of Christ is a family that loves one another, that prays for, that does all these one another things, and we're going to look at them. So 100 different times in 94 verses, this one another Greek word is found. Then if you add this one another with the word love, it's 44 times in 19 verses. So clearly the dominant idea is that we love one another. That we love one another. Now that's going to outflow in lots of other one another things, but the overarching idea is that we love one another. 12 times this exact language is love one another. 12 times in 11 verses, we're told love one another. Turn to John 13:34. John 13:34. And those of you that know your Bibles know that this is the chapter where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. In verse 31, of John 13:31. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while, I'm with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say also to you, where I am going, you cannot come." And then now notice, please, verse 34 in particular. A new commandment. This is why I think Paul is calling this the law of Christ. A new commandment. And then Jesus says, I give to you. What is that new commandment? Underline, please, that you love one another. How? Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people, will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another, or for one another. So the overarching mandate of the entire Christian church globally and then manifesting itself in a local way is that we love one another.
That's right.
That we love one another. That we are crazy about each other. That when someone comes into the body of Christ and it becomes very obvious that they are a believer, fruits of the Spirit begin manifesting themselves, and we recognize you're obviously a sister in Christ. You're clearly a brother in Christ. That there becomes this incredible love one for another. And let's be clear. Let's jump up and down and stomp our feet and say it really strongly. This is without regard to gender, wealth, skin color, ethnicity, sin or offense, political affiliation. We just love one another.
That's right.
Democrats and Republicans, libertarians, independents, whites, blacks, males, females, rude people and not so rude people. In other words, we don't get caveats. We don't get exceptions to the policy. I love you as long as you're nice to me. I love you as long as I like you. I love you as long as you're generous to me. I love you as long as you said hello to me. I love you as long as you're not in sin. How can we even say that? Look at our previous verse. Who's he talking to? People who are in what? Sin. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens. It's not an accident that two follows one. It's not an accident. Five times we are told that loving one another is a commandment. Five times. Let me show it to you. John 15, 12, this is my commandment that you love one another. John 15, 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. 1 John 3, 23, this is his commandment. John says this is his commandment that we believe in the name of the Son of God and love one another just as he has commanded us. 2 John 5, and now I ask you, dear lady, referring to the church, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one we had from the beginning, that we love one another. I have to conclude that if I'm not loving you, I am in sin. If I'm not loving you, brother in Christ, if I'm not loving you, sister in Christ, if I'm not loving each of us, I am in sin. And there's no exceptions to this. I don't get a caveat to that, but you were rude to me. No. But you offended me. Okay. And we can deal with that, but you don't get to not love one another as you're working through that you offended me crisis. We're commanded to love one another. Look what he says. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The greatest manifestation that we are disciples is the fact that we have a unique and special love one for another. And please understand, this is different from everybody. If it's just everybody, in other words, I just love everyone, and you can't make any distinction between my love for you, brother in Christ, my love for you, sister in Christ, my love for you, brother in Christ. If I just love everyone, then Christ is not glorified in that. The church is not identified as a special entity in that. It doesn't set me apart in any way, shape, or form if I have a generic love for all souls on the planet that isn't unique and distinct for you and you alone, brother in Christ. If I just drop everything and do everything for everyone as though there's no difference between sisters in Christ and brothers in Christ, then that doesn't make sense. Because that says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. People are going to know you're different. Why? Well, I just love you guys. And this is one of the reasons why we can't imagine not being together. This is one of the reasons why churches took a lawsuit and said, you can't do this. We need to get together. We need to be a family. We are a family. We want to be together. We want to spend time together. 1 John 4:7, verse 11 and 12, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is being perfected in us. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love one for another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. By the way, did you notice here that Paul is calling Jesus God? Because God didn't come down to the planet and teach him that. Who did? Christ. Christ taught him that. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. So what does Christian love look like? Well, it has to be 1 Corinthians 13. Well, I know that chapter. I know you do. Now go there. Because we couldn't read this too much. Amen. You could read this every single day, morning, noon, and night, and it wouldn't be too often. Anyone that reads this walks away going, I don't do that very well. I need to do this better. I'm convicted when I read this description. Now, the reason we're here in 1 Corinthians 13:4 is because we want to know what it means to love one another. And one of the reasons why we need to know what it means to love one another is because we use the word love way too loosely. We love a lot of things. You know, we love our children and our wives and BMWs and pizza and one another. Dick, that's how we use it. We throw it all together. So when we read, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. So when I'm rude, I need to be made aware of it so I can fix it. Because I'm not loving one another when I'm rude. It does not insist on its own way. It does not insist on its own way. Love does not insist on its own way. I don't have to leave the church when I don't get my own way. I don't have to go find another congregation when I don't get my own way. Because I understand that loving means that I'm not always going to get my own way. I don't have to leave this marriage when I don't get my own way. I'm not always going to get my own way. Teach your children that. It's one of the reasons why it's important to have lots of children. Several at a bare minimum. Two at an absolute minimum. Why? Because it's this constant source of, you're not going to get your own way. Because you're not going to put two children in the same family and they both get their own way all the time. It ain't going to happen. Okay? Right? Allen family? Right, so you quickly realize I'm not always gonna get my way. Every now and then it's kind of cool when I get my own way, because most of the time it doesn't happen. I mean, read this amazing text. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In fact, it's the only spiritual gift that never ends. Love never ends. Everything else comes to an end, but not love. Not love.
That's right.
Not love. So this is interesting because Paul and Peter tell us to kiss one another.
That's right.
Yeah. And no, this is like, are you crazy? The germophobics are just cringing right now as they read this verse. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All churches of Christ greet you. Now look what Paul's saying there. Let's just grab a hold of this. And we're not going to do any of this, so don't panic right now. But he's saying that there ought to be this acknowledgement that when you come into the body of Christ, Marcus, that you get greeted. Marcus! And we're not going to start kissing. Exactly, right. But obviously here, what was this? This was a sign of what? Affection. Love one for another. With a holy kiss, Peter goes very specific, and Peter says, greet one another with a kiss of love. A kiss of love. A greeting of love. An embrace of love. A handshake of love. I know it doesn't, it's a modified COVID-19 thing. A bump of love. But seriously, come on. All of you that have been in churches for a little while, you've been in churches where people don't greet each other. And you go, do you guys even love each other? Come on. We've been to other churches. You've been to other churches. All the military folks that have moved from location to location. And you walk in and you sit down, nobody even greets you. Do we understand that the reason they're here is probably because they're a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, or they're soon to be one through faith in Jesus? Right. And we ought to go out of our way to embrace this idea of greeting one another with a holy kiss, a kiss of love. So now, under this giant overarching umbrella of love one another, I'm going to suggest that there are 10 things that flow out of that, 10 things that flow out of this giant umbrella of love one another. And the first one is loving one another includes bearing one another's burdens, which is what Paul says here. That's the implication of what Paul is communicating to us in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law that you love one another. See what I'm doing right there? I'm bringing in that law of Christ and saying, reminding you what it is. That when I bear your burden with you, sister, that I am in fact fulfilling the law that I'm to love you. That there's no way in the world that you can say, man, he loves me, but he wants nothing to do with my burdens. Think about a true husband-wife relationship in which you are fulfilling your wedding vows and one gets cancer, one gets this, one gets that. And it's really like two have it. As you work through it, you're bearing each other's burdens. The word for burden here means literally a heavy weight or a stone. Someone is required to carry for a long distance. And by the way, Paul's admonishment here to bear one another's burdens reminds us that the entire prosperity gospel is nothing but hogwash. Right. The Word of Faith movement, sister, where you speak things into make it better. And you wouldn't have cancer if you just speak to that cancer and say, cancer, be rid of me. No. Christians get cancer. Christians have burdens. Christians die prematurely. Christians go through a lot in a fallen world. We don't need to come up with this poppycock that if you just come to Jesus, everything will be fine. So you're going to have burdens. You're going to have burdens. You need to bear one another's burdens with the reality that we're not going to not have them. They're going to come. Figuratively, if it came to mean any oppressive ordeal or hardship that was difficult to bear, as in Matthew 20:12, when Jesus spoke of the workers in the vineyard who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. We're talking about a terrible spouse. A terrible spouse. You just married a loser. I'm sorry. And you're stuck. And it's miserable. It's hard. I'm talking about financial burdens. I'm talking about bad health. I'm talking about Joyce Reband's cancer. Rob texted me and said, man, she's just in so much pain, just in agony. I'm talking about a deadbeat parent. You just have a loser for a parent. I'm talking about a teenager just living in a house in which their father or mother's a drunk. I'm talking about neurologically challenged children. They have issues. They're legitimately different. I'm talking about infertility. I'm talking about Alzheimer's. I'm talking about a worthless son or daughter. And I said, I can't believe that's a Bible word. Worthless is a Bible word. Rebellious. In other words, we look around us in the body of Christ and we realize it's full of broken people that are going through struggles. And what we say to them is, you don't have to go through it by yourself. I want to come alongside of you and go through it with you. I'm going to walk part of this with you. I'm going to help carry the load. The rucksack's really heavy. You carry it for a mile and I'll carry it for the other mile. But let's face it, you're never going to pick up somebody's rucksack if you don't even know who they are. If you haven't greeted one another, you're never going to get to the point where you're carrying a load. Before you even carry someone's load, you're going to know who they are. Where are you going? What's in the bag? Man, it looks heavy. It is heavy. Can I carry it with you? All of us that are in the army, you know, when you got like a rucksack that has to be carried, you know, so you got yours on and then Marcus has got his on. And then Marcus, you reach down and get the left side of the tubular frame and I'll reach down and get the other side of the tubular frame. And this rucksack's going to be a lot easier if I only have to carry half of it. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Putting a second rucksack on an existing rucksack on your back is about miserable. Or the front side wearing it, which is just tactically ridiculous. Come on, all you army guys that are out there listening and watching. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, grab that thing right there and grab that thing right there. And you can do some amazing things, I'm telling you. Because my other hand's free, so you know what I can do that one? I can help carry another one. So how do we bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ? Disciples of Christ bear one another's burdens by loving one another, such that love takes on flesh, hands, feet, eyes, ears, a mouth, a mind, a heart. So we do more than just hear about this burden. We take action. We want to do something about it. We want to figure it out. Right. Pastors hear about burdens all the time, lots of them, more than you do. And you're constantly going, all right, now what do I do with this? I wasn't made aware of this just to make aware of it. I need to do something about this. I need to figure out, how can I help? How can I put people together? How can I solve this problem? It's not enough just to know about it. And by the way, sometimes it's not enough just to pray about it. Sometimes we are the feet. Sometimes we are the hands. Sometimes we are the flesh. We are the solution to the problem. I'll pray about it. The book of James addresses that with that flippant idea of just praying about it when you've got something that you could actually solve the problem. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, comfort one another, comfort one another. Romans 12:15 says, weep with those who weep, weep with those who weep. Number two, loving one another includes serving one another, includes serving one another. It's not an accident that the introduction of this commandment in John chapter 13 comes right after Jesus has done what? He's washed their feet. He's washed their feet. And let's remind ourselves, you think it's gross to wash someone's feet right now? You don't even have a clue what gross is. Okay? Your feet are immaculate on their dirtiest day compared to what their feet would have been like 2,000 years ago. They didn't stand in hot showers for 15 minutes as water just constantly cleanses those feet and you're down there with a bar of soap going like this. My point is, it would have been a nasty task to wash somebody's feet the way Jesus did. It's the epitome of service. It's the giant reminder of what Jesus said. He said, if I've done this, you do it. You do it. I've given you an example. You also ought to wash one another's feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Galatians 5:13, Paul takes the idea of love and service and melds them together when he says, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Use it to serve one another. So we serve by praying, loving, forbearing, which is being patient, listening. We serve by teaching. We serve by forgiving. We serve by showing hospitality. And we serve by giving. 1 Peter 4:9 says, show hospitality to one another, without grumbling. Number three, loving one another includes living in harmony, Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony. Ask yourself, can I get over this? Is this a hill I have to die on? Can I let this go? Husbands and wives' relationships would do so much better if they learned to just let things go. Live in harmony. I don't have to have my way all the time, and Pam doesn't have to have her way all the time. We need to respect the differences on ways we want things done. If we're in the kitchen, she wins. She wins. If she wants that there, that's where it's going to go. If that's her preference, that's where it's going to go. Even if I think it's a stupid location or a bad way of doing it or it's not very efficient, I don't have to have it. We can live in what? Harmony. Harmony. We can live in harmony. Romans 15:5, he says it again. He says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant to you to live in such harmony with one another. You're not going to find a church without sinners. You're not going to find a pastor that does it the way you always think it should be done every time. That man doesn't exist. You need to become the pastor. Then you can agree with yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:11, agree with one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. In other words, we're going to have to agree to disagree sometimes. Agree with one another. Hey, we don't have the same perspective on that. Okay, end of discussion. Let's move on. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another. Romans 15:7, welcome one another. One translation is accept one another. Another translation is receive one another. And then it's interesting because it says, as Christ has welcomed you. Now let's stop and think about that. Let's examine that. Did you get the good news that you have to clean yourself up first and then Christ will accept you? Was that the message of the New Testament? Once you get all your ducks in the order, come back and see me? No. We come to him as we are, dirty, filthy, immature, in sin. And how does he receive us? Come on. Come on. Think about the parable of the prodigal son. He was nasty. He was in the pig's pen. He wasn't told, go take a shower, get everything straight, and then I'll give you a hug. He was received just as he was. And that's how we're supposed to be, church. That's how we're supposed to receive folks, sin and all. Number four, loving one another includes teaching one another. Twice we're told to instruct or admonish one another. In other words, I've got something I want to share with you. It's a truth. I'm going to do it in the spiritual spirit of gentleness, but there's a need for instruction right now. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Number five, loving one another must include forgiving one another. It must include forgiving one another. This is premium. This is essential. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:13, forgiving each other. If anyone has a complaint against each other, forgive. Forgive, let it go. James 5:16, confess your sins one to another. Just confess them. Last week we looked at verse 14, and I don't know why I didn't show you verse 15, because together it's incredible. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Settle in there. I got to let it go. I got to let it go. Number six, loving one another includes providing the same care for one another, the same care one for another, the same. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another, the same care. Lines that divide the fallen world are eliminated in the body of Christ. Lines of color, lines of ethnicity. You know, we don't have blue pews and red pews. Mm-mm. We have pews. You leave your political affiliation at the door, so to speak. You come in here without regard to your skin color, without regard to your social economic status, without regard to your political affiliation, your ethnicity. You just come in here as a sister or brother in Christ. Number seven, loving one another includes submitting one to another. Submitting one to another. Look what he says. Ephesians 5:21, submitting one to another. Submitting one to another. Love does not insist on having its own way. Number eight, loving one another includes seeking to do good. Seeking to do good to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another. Seek to do good. We can literally use this as our matrix for making decisions. Is this a good thing? Yes. Seek to do it then. Seek to do it. Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. To everyone. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He goes on and says, what? Especially the household of faith. You know what he just did? He made a distinction between my relationship with all humans and my relationship with you, brother in Christ, you, sister in Christ. It's not the same. Number nine, loving one another includes encouraging one another. Encouraging. This is over and over again, like 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. Build one another up. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir up one another, stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:25, let's not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some, but now, especially in today, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Number 10, loving one another includes praying one for another. Praying one for another. Praying one for another. Praying one for another. How do you pray for people you don't know? You don't. You know, maybe you do that a big generic thing. Bless all the missionaries and everybody on the earth. Amen. Come on. Who do you pray for? The people you know. That's right. The people you know. That's why the body of Christ has to be all about making connections, building relationships, creating means where we greet each other. You have a prayer list that's given to you. You have a prayer list that's sent out. You have admonishments to pray. So you hear something like Joyce Reban. Do you know who she is? If you don't, you ought to be compelled to find out who she is. Pastor, where does she sit when she comes? Where did she sit? Does anyone know what she looks like? What's she going through right now? What kind of cancer does she have? What stage is it in? I want to pray for her. I want to pray for her. Could you, Body of Christ, send a text message to Debbie Smith? Could you, Body of Christ, send her a note that says, I'm praying for you? Well, I don't have her phone number. Did you ask?
That's right.
Did you ask? Did you say, I'm in the body of Christ and she's in the body of Christ. We're in the same body of Christ. You can trust me. I'm not going to try to solicit her for Amway. I just want to pray for her. I want to let her know that I'm praying for her. Let me ask you a question. If you were in a hospital for a month and you didn't hear from anyone for a month from your church, what would you think? What would you think? Would you think, man, they love me? No, you wouldn't. James 5:16, therefore pray for one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Amen. That's working.
Amen.
And then I'll just wrap it up by showing you the screen. There are six more verses I could show you, and they're all negatives of the one another's. In other words, the one another's used in a very positive sense, and then sometimes it's used in a negative sense, like don't judge one another, or like don't deprive each other, husbands and wives, in 1 Corinthians. Or don't provoke each other. Or make sure that you don't lie to one another.
Amen.
Or don't speak evil about one another. Don't gossip about one another. And don't grumble about one another. In other words, he says, these are the very positive things we need to be doing. And then he says, these are the things that we don't do one to another. We don't lie to each other. We don't grumble about each other. We don't provoke each other. If I know that you have a hot button, I don't try to push it. If I don't agree with where you're at on that, I don't judge you on that. You know, I'm talking about the gray areas. The gray areas where there's some flexibility. So let's think for a moment as we close in prayer. Where do I want to focus on all these one another's? Is there an area I need to forgive? Is there a person I haven't been loving? Do I serve in the body of Christ? These one another's, where do I need to put my attention? Father God in heaven, as we close in prayer, knowing that we're going to have another service in just a little bit of time, God, may we as a body of Christ connect. May we as a body of Christ grow closer. May we as a post-COVID-19 kind of a entity now recommit ourselves to connecting one with another. In Jesus' name, amen.